welcome to the big British castle. It's time for Adam and Joe to broadcast on the radio. There'll be some music and some random talking in between, and then eventually the whole thing will just end.
That's Lady Hawk with Dusk Till Dawn, and this is Adam Buxton here on BBC Six Music. Joe is away today, listeners, and I'm joined by our buddy Garth Jennings.
Hello there, I'm standing in again. Joe just keeps going away and I just keep coming back
here. He's still standing. Joe is off in Los Angeles, and he's assured me that he's not hanging out with Will Smith, because that's my friend.
Yeah.
He's doing some work out there, so he says. I mean,
he's so not.
We've only got his word for that. Probably
he's
what he's doing.
He's sitting by some swimming pool, smoking something crazy.
Yeah, like a rolled up newspaper.
Yes.
And he's standing probably on Sunset Boulevard in his pants, is what he's doing.
Yeah, he's filthy.
Touting for business.
Mm.
But
dirty Joe.
So we won't hear from him at all this week. However, next weekend, when he's also away, he's away for the next 3 weeks or something ludicrous.
How bitter he was when he said that.
Yeah,
he's away for 3 weeks,
and he will be down. He will be down the line. We'll be hooking up with him live in a studio in LA next week, and I think maybe the week after. But which makes me a little perplexed, because I was thinking, like, does he get paid for a whole show doing that? Right. I bet he does. And I think that's not fair, especially as he was sort of saying, oh, well, it's going to be about 3 a.m. in Los Angeles if I do that. So maybe I'll just do the first hour of the show and then, you know, go to bed if that's cool with you guys. And everyone's like, yeah, that's cool with us guys. And I was thinking, it's not cool with this guy. It's not cool with the guy who's being paid the same to do the whole proper show and isn't in Los Angeles in his underpants on Sunset Boulevard at 3 a.m.
See, I've already gone into that thing my dad warned me about, my wife's been cross about, where I just keep laughing.
That's all right, man.
I've got, this is the show where I'm surly, right?
Hey, we all keep laughing on this show. It's a fun time. It's a beautiful morning. The sun's out. The building that's being built opposite our studio here at Six Music is going really well. And now it's it's blotted out the view. Now it's just a massive great wall with some men in yellow, visibility uniforms on it. But, you know, it's a nice day to be alive, I hope.
This is it. This is my day.
Yeah.
I even got the front seat on the 73 bus, which is the pole position.
Right.
You know, we were up there practically next to the driver.
You can feel...
Feels like you're driving.
Exactly. You can pretend you are driving. In fact, you can take a little plastic children's wheel on there.
Yeah.
And you can pretend you're changing gear and stuff like that.
You pretend not to let people on.
Right.
So, no, close the doors now. I'm closing the doors.
Yeah.
And it's great.
It's a fun game.
I've had a lovely start to the day.
Well done. Listeners, we've got song wars for you, but it's a whole fraught tale that we will relate to you later on. It's the hardest song wars that we've ever been involved with, but we wanted to try and do one for you. So that's exactly what we've done. We've tried. We'll probably dig out a Text the Nation for you later on, all that stuff. And we've got a lot of great sort of music. Now, this is an exciting new band. they are called The Blur. Because they move and they play and they think so fast. It's what they're like. They're just a blur. And they're led by an arrogant young man. His name is Damien Albran. And this is their song two, the second song they've ever written. Very good. Well done. That was Blur with Song 2. That was more than 10 years ago now, wasn't it? Or almost exactly 10 years ago, maybe.
It sounds brilliant still.
That's kind of Coxon propelling that one, I would think. You know?
With his mighty axe.
With his mighty axe, when he started getting into all the American indie grungy bands and infecting Blur with that sound. Much to the chagrin of Albran, who wanted
the chagrin?
To... Yeah, don't you... I think that
What's
I was...
a chagrin?
Yeah, he's just a little bit miffed. It's mythology.
Ah.
You know, I always felt like Albran wanted to go... Basically, he was always waiting for the moment that he could unleash the monkey.
Right.
And start collaborating with world musicians on a big monkey-based opera. And the whole thing was derailed somewhat by Coxon insisting that they play their guitars loudly. I might be wrong about that. That's pure speculation.
I think you're probably right.
I'm just imagining it. But I think that was the root of the friction.
He was waiting to unleash his monkey.
In a way, we're all waiting to unleash our monkeys as men. This is BBC Six Music. And we are here for the next 2 hours and 50 minutes. Within the next half hour, we are going to be unleashing our Song Wars songs on you rather than our monkeys. And I will tell you this week that Garth and I decided we should write a credit crunch song. And it's something that Joe and I were talking about on previous shows. We always toyed with the credit crunch notion as a theme. It's very topical.
Don't know if you've noticed. If you noticed that everything's collapsing.
Yes, people are chatting about it. So we thought we should do a credit crunch song. But then again, we also thought that we should do like a world peace song, you know, when it was all going off with Russia, like the other week.
See, I'd have been up for doing a world peace song.
You would think, wouldn't you? You'd think, how hard is it to do a world peace song? Bob Dylan, he tossed them off the whole time. Actually, he didn't write that many straightforward world peace songs, but they felt like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's a bit harder than you might imagine to come out with a blowing in the wind or whatever.
Yeah.
So we were stuffed on that one. We actually tried to write our world peace songs and gave up. Phoned each other on Friday evening before the show a few weeks back and said, is it happening over there in the Cornish studio? No.
Do you do it? Do you phone as well, sort of, you know, hedging your bets a bit, sort of going, hey, how's it going with you? Like, it could be going all right with me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How many choruses and verses and stuff have you got on the world peace song? Yeah, not many. How about you? None. Should we give up? Yes.
When you phoned last night, I thought that was the call where I was going to get let off the hook. It's like, look, just forget it. We'll play some more records.
Well, it sort of was the call.
You were doing it to me.
Yeah, I was hoping you might say, I've got nothing. Let's not do it.
Well, I sort of said help. I was sort of saying, this is awful. But anyway, people will decide.
This is the thing, you see. Like, if you were doing it for a TV show or a show or whatever, you would work until you had something you were pleased with. You would reject a certain amount of stuff. But if it's just, you've got to do it for the radio show, and the stakes aren't necessarily that high.
No, but also the thing is that I haven't had a chance to do anything all week because I've been doing my other job.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got home last night trying to get it done before...
Your neurosurgery job.
Yeah, exactly. I got people to fix.
Garth is like the embodiment of house.
Yeah, I like, sewing things up, getting it done. and stumbling around and going... Brr.
And he does an American accent as well.
I do an American accent.
What's that? Is that your American accent?
Yeah, how you doing there?
And I've had a cold, you might be able to hear as well.
It sounds good though, you sound good with a cold. Something, some people sound rubbish.
The last time I saw you, I had a cold.
You've always got a cold.
You're the cold man, you're Oscar Coldman. I'm like Steve Austin, and my bionics aren't working because you've infected me, Oscar Coldman.
You're just weird.
Anyway, let's play some more music and maybe do Song Wars after this.
Yeah.
I don't know what you think about that. Sadly, Rick Wright from Pink Floyd died this week. Did you read that?
I did.
And he was only 65, which seems too young. But man, if you're a musician, if you go on stage, you're dealing with that amount of stress. And that's by the way of all any crazy, little cups of... crazy food you might be... What am I talking about? My brain's shut down.
It's really difficult to deal with those crazy...
Being a rock star is a stressful job, is what I'm saying. And unfortunately, I think it might shorten your life. Anyway, this is a song that Rick Wright wrote for very early Pink Floyd, and it's one of my favourites. It's called Paintbox. Finishing my orange segment.
Do you want me to do this? What is it? Well, who was that?
James Yuill.
That was James Yuill with his song called...
This Sweet Love.
This Sweet Love, which actually I thought was great.
It was very nice. Yuill. How would you pronounce that?
Yuill.
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 You are.
Yeah, exactly. James Yuill. Nah, I'm all right. Thanks.
James probably hates this
show.
That's
what happens in his life.
Yeah.
James, you ill? No, I'm fine. No, I'm just saying your name. Oh, my name. Sorry. That's embarrassing. Yes, I'm fine. What? My name? All that must be funny in his life. Anyway, well done, James. Very good song, This Sweet Love, that was.
Also, that Pink Floyd track you played was great.
That's amazing.
I'd never heard that before.
You know, embarrassingly, when Syd Barrett died, and we were on XFM, I wheeled that one out and I said, this is a tribute to Syd Barrett. And then a little bit of a name drop here. Claire, don't know if you can muster up a little name drop sound for
us. I can always do it.
It's a small name drop. Robin Hitchcock texted me and said, actually, Sid didn't write Paintbox. That was one of Rick Wright's. Because Robin Hitchcock is a big Pink Floyd obsessive. So he knows all about that. So I felt quite embarrassed. Just done a little tribute to the wrong guy.
This is for you,
but
Sid.
This time, sadly, I was able to get it right. Quite literally.
Good work, man.
Thank you very much.
Very good work.
But what a lovely song. Amazing.
Amazing.
There she sits, looking very angry, as cross as she can be. Yippee, 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 yippee. That's how to write a song. We'll be showing you how not to write a song quite shortly when we unveil our Song Wars efforts.
It's a real war. It's going to be a bloody, dirty war.
But we're not going to do it before the news. We'll do it after the news, I think. In the meantime...
Oh, yeah, I was going to... Because I know people get a bit disappointed because... You know, it goes Adam and Joe, and then, no, Joe's away, Garth's in. And you can feel half of your listeners going, oh.
No, that's not true.
No, 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 because it's not because of me. It's because they love that Joe guy.
Yeah.
So I thought I better make a jingle that sort of announces myself, because otherwise it's going to get confusing for people. And I haven't played this to you yet, but this is my, you know, I need it, because you've got an Adam and Joe jingle and right. loads of jingles. I thought I need my own one that sort of explains myself to your unhappy listeners.
Okay.
Here we go.
I'm not Joe, no. Joe is away from the show. But Joe is the one that you know. He's unreliable. Yes, so are PN. I'm not Joe.
I am Garth. I am standing in for Joe. I hope you don't mind if you do. That's tough.
There you go, that's my jingle. And I'll be playing that every 5 minutes throughout the show, folks. So it's only 28 seconds long. You can deal with it, people.
He's unreliable. That's...
Yeah, I love the way the Tony Whatnot used to sing that. He's unreliable.
It is, it's one of the most enjoyable things to sing. Indestructible.
And I was trying to work what the ubable would be for ages. I couldn't work it out.
Unreliable. Perfect.
Unreliable. There you go.
Absolutely perfect.
It's so appealing.
So, yes, we will be trotting out our Song Wars things after. I've actually brought in two, right? Which is not strictly allowed. I'm only going to be submitting one for competition.
That's fine. I tell you what, anything goes, because I was struggling so badly, so you can just do whatever you like.
I'm bringing in the other one purely as a curiosity, you know, like a like a DVD extra, where you can kind of look at it and think, well,
yeah, that's a deleted scene.
That is deleted. But then when you compare it to the one I'm actually submitting, there's no real difference in quality. So it's...
You know, this is why war is bad. You see, wars have to come to an end. We've got to do like a pipes of peace type thing and just get our football out and just love each other and play football. Not keep inflicting war on each other with these stupid songs.
Yeah. I'm thinking about all the loving that we're going to be doing, the loving each other bit. How are we going to do it exactly? Maybe you could explain while this song is playing.
Okay.
Do you want to introduce this? It's a bit of Hot Chip.
Oh, Hot Chip, Over and Over. Yeah, go on, play it.
Hot Chip with Over and Over. This is Adam Buxton and Garth Jennings here on BBC Six Music. It is 9:30, time now for the news read by Harvey Cook. That is Prince the Purple Ponce with I Could Never Take the Place of Your Man. This is Adam and Garth here on BBC Six Music. Lovely Saturday morning. Hope you're enjoying it so far, listeners, if you haven't got out of bed yet. Don't. You know, just stay there. Why would you want to get up? There's a credit crunch out there. And it's coming to get you. And we've written some songs about them. But first, let's have the Song Wars jingle. Why not?
It's time for Song Wars. The war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test. So check it out.
And the whole notion of which one is the best is somewhat moot this week. It's more like, I'm guessing it's more like which one is the least grating.
Yeah, because I think I might win in grating.
You reckon?
Yeah. Last time we did this, I was really excited about playing my song.
Yeah.
This time I'm terrified.
Well, last time your song was a smash, wasn't it?
I beat you.
You did. You absolutely thrashed me.
Come on.
Well,
come on, what am I saying come on for?
Because it's fun, isn't it?
Come on.
It's something that people say. It's something that Justin Lee Collins might say. And
that's true.
And that's good enough. Did you see the hairy monster doing his Star Wars reunion thing last week?
No, I didn't.
Incidentally, it was quite enjoyable. Anyway, that's by the by. I've brought in not one, but two attempts at this Credit Crunch Song Wars thing, right?
Right.
And I think what I might do... Have you got both of them lined up, Claire, or just the one?
No, I've got... Yeah.
Do you want to hear my first attempt?
Yeah, go on.
Okay. So this is... I just bit off way more than I could chew with this, right?
Way more than you could crunch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I couldn't even start to crunch this. And so the subsequent thing is totally overblown. It's like a little mini Dickensian opera.
Brilliant.
Based on a musical riff that might be familiar to listeners. But it's just nonsensical, and it's kind of badly produced, so you can't really hear what's actually being said a lot of the time, and mm-hmm. it's just a mess. So should we hear that one now? It's exciting, isn't it?
The global economy's falling to bits. Who is to blame? Riddle me this.
We're on the verge of flipping abyss. Except this abyss hasn't got little nice aliens at the bottom. Now waste your time trying to figure out who done the credit crunch. It was a load of greedy bankers having a fiddle over lunch. The main thing now is not to panic, but to get yourself prepared. The apocalypse is coming, but there's no need to be scared. The crunch, the crunch.
Prime Minister Gordon Brown says to frown, it's easy to deal with it.
Just like the loft.
And remember to turn out the lights.
Oh God, the crunch.
It's already crunching down upon your town. It's time to be sensible.
So change your ways.
Who of you are going to die? What can we do?
What can we do?
Here's some advice for you.
When you're going to the pictures, don't invest in any treats. Cause the popcorn is expensive, but a bogey's free and just as sweet. And if you can't afford no music, and you don't wanna nick it, go back inside your nose again, and you can Wilson pick it.
I've got other suggestions, not about smart ways to save, and have a lot of fun with yourself.
And then I gave up.
I think that's terrific.
I was going to have more advice about how to economise and stuff, but I couldn't stop thinking about the fact, like...
You couldn't stop thinking about picking your nose.
Yeah.
The Wilson Pickett bit worked great.
You reckon?
Yeah, that's good work.
That was the bit where I knew I was defeated, actually.
I think you've just...
Wilson Pickett. God, I've got to give up now.
Oh, mine's just worse.
All right, man. Well, listen, should we have a listen to yours now?
I haven't got backup here.
Well, this is now. Now we're in the official competition. So you're discounting that last thing, listeners, and this is what we are actually competing against each other with.
Yeah, focus now.
So do you want to introduce yours now?
All right, mine's called My Credit Crunchy Song, and I think I should just play it and get it over with.
All right.
Let's do it.
If this song was a bank, it would fold, to be frank. And this tune was a man, he would sleep in a van.
For the fade.
Oh, I had to go for the... It's awful. Do you know that? Do you remember when you were at school and you were asked to stand up in front of the class and speak?
Uh-huh.
You know that kind of embarrassment that's so shocking that you feel like you've gone solid? Like, if you were... You're like a solid brick of red.
Yeah.
That was me for the last 2 minutes.
That was good, man. I enjoyed that. You know what?
Oh, bless you.
That was musically superior. You sidestepped the whole actually writing a thing about the credit crunch.
I didn't know what to write about.
Basically, you just... All your lyrics were like, this is a song about the credit crunch.
This is a rubbish song, and if it was about the credit crunch, it would be like this. I couldn't think of anything.
You shirked the...
I tried to creatively bend the brief.
Well, I think that's fair enough.
Lord have mercy.
You know what you should do is retool that song and write some actual proper lyrics that aren't about the credit crunch for it, because that's a nice song.
Okay.
I would enjoy that. That's as good as Hot Chip.
Hot Chip.
That's even better than a lot of their stuff.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I do. So that was Garth's Credit Crunch song there. What are you calling it?
My Credit Crunchy song.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So in the end, after I'd given up on my little mini opera there, I just thought, okay, I'm going to have to do something that I've been thinking about doing a lot in sometimes when I run out of ideas for Song Wars and I'm up against the deadline. I think, ooh... Okay, it's time for this tack. Maybe I should play mine after the next track. No, all right, then I'll play it now. It's only short. And that is to do an homage to Radiohead's Fitter, Happier.
Oh, you clever sausage.
You know that track?
You've won the war.
It's the, well, no, not necessarily, because it's not it's not in any way a song. But it is kind of a song. Because that was it like, it was almost the centerpiece of OK Computer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In a way, and it had the Stephen Hawking computer voice on there talking about alienation and modern
a
angst.
Pig
and
stuck on a poo.
Exactly.
It says that, but I just...
It's not stuck on a poo, I don't think.
Something like that.
Tied to a stick
that's driven into frozen... Yeah. Ooh, I'm sure he says. Anyway.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's the kind of thing I went for, and here it is.
Credit crunch is a term used to describe a sudden reduction in the general availability of loans, or credit, or a sudden increase in the cost of obtaining loans from the banks. There are a number of reasons why banks may suddenly increase the costs of borrowing or make borrowing more difficult. This may be due to an anticipated decline in value of the collateral used by the banks, or it could be something to do with Al Gore. In fact, yes, I'm almost certain it's Al Gore's fault. And Noel Edmonds is probably mixed up in it somewhere too, with his Princess Diana hair and his stupid boxes. He's waiting until the world is on its knees, and then he's going to bring back Mr. Blobby. And it wouldn't surprise me if Ant and Dec are in league with the banks too. They've got their fingers in everybody's pies. Saturday night isn't the only thing they want to take away. They're good on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, though. Mind you, with the crunch, they're probably going to have to scale I'm a Celebrity down a bit, and just have the cheeky girls and the Chuckle Brothers in the park in Hackney.
Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. You can't even hear what he's saying as well. That's the thing.
Yes, you can. It's a winner.
Fred. That's the name of that voice on your computer. Red. There you go. Well, that's Song Wars. And I don't know if we're going to play those again. Usually we play them again at the end of the show.
I think that would be unfair. People are screaming at their radios now saying, please, don't play that again.
No, I would go mental.
Yours is fine, but shocking.
Anyway, let's move on, shall we? That was Song Wars. And don't forget that email is the way to vote for those, which one you hate least. and the address is... What is the address? adamandjoe.6music.bbc. No.
BBC. Oh, dear.
Yeah, the address is on the website. Where is it?
I can't see it at all. Just so everyone knows, there's hundreds of people running around a studio now trying to find a bit of paper for Adam.
There?
There he goes. Here it is.
Okay. It's, you know the address. It's, oh, for goodness sake, we'll tell you the address sometime. Now, Garth, this is your choice right now.
This is a song by Smog called Cold-Blooded Old Times, and this was a song that you actually introduced to me on one of your many ridiculous compilations, but this is a fantastic track, and I love it.
Yeah, here we go.
Can this we play is, it?
Nice bit of Smog. There you go. That's Smog, as chosen by Garth. That was Cold-Blooded Old Times. That pops up on the High Fidelity soundtrack as well. Have you seen that film recently?
What, the one with...
John Cusack.
John Cusack. No, yeah. I haven't, actually. I saw it when it came out. I really liked it.
It's a strange one, that film.
Do you not like that?
What, the film?
Yeah.
Not entirely.
Really?
No, not really. No.
Is it too close to your musical thing?
It's too close to my life.
Yeah.
It's just too close to my life. No, I don't know. I don't know why. There's something about it that's a little yucky. It's a bit like... who directed that film?
Stephen Frears.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Yes. Because then there's... Who directed Singles? That is Cameron Camerones, isn't it?
Camerone.
Camerones.
We're going to hit it. We're going to bang it.
The Crowman.
Yeah.
He directed that. And Singles, like a lot of his films, is a very strange experience. Have you seen that one?
I haven't seen that one.
You've never seen it?
No.
With Matt Dillon in there. I think he's playing...
Matt Dillon?
Matt Dillon.
I've not seen that.
Alain's son. He's in there and he's playing like a... the lead singer of a grunge band, and they're called something like...
Oh, wait a minute. Doesn't Tim Burton pop up as a sort of cameo in it?
Quite possibly.
Isn't it like the grunge scene?
It's all set in Seattle, yeah.
Yeah, no, I've seen that.
And they're quite a good grunge band, but they are called something ludicrous. I wish I could remember. Maybe one of our listeners could remind me what they're called. It's not as bad as the Oasis-style band that's in Lost. You don't watch Lost,
I don't watch Lost, no.
But the guy, the little, one of the hobbits...
oh, yes, he's the rock star.
He's a rock star, Charlie.
Yeah.
Charlie, and he's in a band from Manchester, and they're supposed to be like Oasis, and they're called something like Pile Driver or, you know, Generator or... Oh, I wish I could remember what they were called. Listeners, this is when we need your help. Fact Department here at the BBC Six Music Show. And here's the email address. We found it. It's adamandjoe, all one word, .sixmusic@bbc.co.uk. Or, of course, you can text us. 64046 is the text number. Don't forget, if you're voting for Song Wars, though, just emails we're taking for that. Because, you know, sometimes people vote when they're after they've listened to the show on Listen Again or on the iPlayer.
That's true.
In which case... there would be no one to receive their texts. They would have spent the money on the text. The text would have just gone into the ether. And
that's why we have a credit crunch, people.
Exactly.
Right.
The British Castle would be held accountable for that.
And, yeah.
We want to avoid that at all costs. So we've got a session track coming up for you now, listeners. And we're going to play a little trail to get you into the session track. And then we're going to play some Echo and the Bunnymen, which was recorded for David Quantick when he was sitting in for Stephen Merchant last week, I think. So this is new Bunnymen doing an old Bunnymen classic.
I'm not Joe, no. Joe is away from the show. But Joe is the one that you know. He's unreliable. Yes, so are PN. I'm not Joe.
I am Garth. I am standing in for Joe. I hope you don't mind if you do. That's tough.
That's an exciting new combo from London, and they're called the Rolling Stones, and that track is called Brown Sugar, and it's about brown sugar. which is a sweetener that you can use in tea. You can make cakes with it. And that's what the song is essentially about. It's extolling the virtues of this kind of granulated substance.
I'm going to use that song to dedicate to my sister, who mm-hmm. I had to ring up while that was on. And she said, oh, I didn't know you were on the radio. I was listening to Sound of the 60s. Well, so I've bought us another listener.
In a way.
And I've given her... I sort of, that's a quite a good song to segue her across.
Exactly. It's like smooth the transition,
yeah,
a little
she's
bit.
If she'd have come straight in with one of those Hot Chip records, oh, I don't know, we'd have lost her.
We'd have freaked her out, wouldn't yeah. we? We'd have to use the paddles on her, on her ass.
Don't talk about my sister like that.
Yeah. I know, it's disrespectful, isn't it?
It really is.
Something yeah. I'd like to see more on medical shows, though.
Use the paddles on his ass. We've tried them on his chest, and it's not working. Have you tried using them on his ass?
They'd have to talk like that, though, to make it work.
Even in Holby City, they'd just slip into that accent. All right, let's slap him with the paddles.
Yeah.
Slap his ass with the paddles.
You're listening to Adam and Garth here on BBC Six Music. It's Saturday morning. Thank you very much indeed for responding to our requests for information. Do you say Ray or Re?
Ray.
R-E.
Re. Re.
Re.
Yeah.
Right.
Now I can't speak. Yeah, Re.
Yeah. Re made up bands in films. I was thinking of the band in Lost that Charlie is a part of. Drive Shaft, of course, they're called. The Oasis-style band. And Drive their Shaft. Big hit is called You All Everybody.
What? You are everybody.
You all everybody.
You all everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a distillation of the appeal of Oasis. Quite a good distillation, I think. You can actually go on YouTube and see Drive Shaft singing You All Everybody. You all everybody. There's a whole video for it and everything. It's ridiculous. And also Matt Dillon's band in the film Singles, directed by Cameron Crowe. They're called Citizen Dick. Is that a good name for a band?
I quite like that.
It's sort of plausible, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's a bit. It reminds me of Ween.
Right.
Not that it's the same thing, but I think their music would be a bit silly.
Oh, okay. No, I mean in the film, it's straight ahead grunge, and quite boring at that. It's not nearly as inventive as Ween.
I love the Ween.
Yeah, you gotta have a slice of Ween. We should play more Ween on this program, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, so thank you very much for responding to that. We are going to be unveiling our Text the Nation subject shortly, I think. But by way of sort of easing us in there a little bit, I will tell you, Garth, that the other weekend I was in the east of England, in East Anglia, and we went to a fun park with my children, and it was called the Dino Park. And it's kind of dino-themed. And it's a fun place. And I'll tell you more about it.
Surely you can't go wrong with dinosaurs.
No, well, exactly, exactly. It's genius. It's absolutely genius. And I think it's one of those situations where maybe there's a stately home or whatever, or a large piece of land with farmland attached. And maybe they've fallen on hard times, or because of financial pressures, they've had to make it, commercially
viable. Put dinosaurs in it.
Viable, yes. Exactly.
We're losing money. Get some dinosaurs. Because that's, again, how they speak on those properties. Get some dinosaurs.
Get some dinosaurs.
Yeah.
That's what's Richard Attenborough. Richard Attenborough? Yeah. Dickie Attenborough.
Dickie,
That's how he should have spoken in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
That's actually,
where are my grandchildren going?
In a way, he almost does, though. Sometimes he's Scottish, sometimes he doesn't bother.
He does. He forgets when he's eating the ice cream and the shadows are on the wall.
Right.
He goes straight back to Dickie.
He's not bothered at all.
You know, he goes all back to that, and then the next he goes, all right, let's go.
Ah, look at the dinosaur. Let's get some dinosaur. All right.
It really is. If you're ever watching that film, watch when he's eating the ice cream. It's like Spielberg just wasn't even there that day.
He was captivated
He was going, Dickie.
Dickie's, I'm under Dickie's spell. Oh, Stevie, I forgot to do the accent there. That doesn't matter.
That was Scottish, right, Dickie? Yes, Stevie, that was Scottish, yes.
Yeah. That's a good accent for Spielberg as well.
Why like that?
But anyway, we were in the Dino Park, and I'll tell you more about the Dino Park after the next track. But this is by the way of all that. We were at the wishing well, right?
Oh, yeah.
And my eldest son was throwing in a coin there, and I had a few euros that I gave him.
You cheapskate. Wait a minute. Whoa, no, not that coin.
No, not that one. That's silver. You can have this. No, this one's silver as well, and it's quite big. You can have that one, a couple of euros.
and so he stuck that in the wishing well, and but then he insisted on telling me what he wished for. And I said, you're not supposed to tell what you wish for, because then apparently it invalidates the wish. That's something in the small print of the wishing contract. But he refused to keep the wishes to himself. And he told me that what his wishes were. Have you heard about your children's wishes yet, Garth?
No.
You never heard any of their wishes?
Well, it's normally just stuff they've just that second seen on the telly.
Right, exactly. Well, my son is six, the one I'm talking about, Frank, and he wished, and I'd never heard any of his wishes before, and I suppose you always hope that maybe your children will wish for kind of wonderful spiritual things. That
or at least feel. Wooden toys.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I wish, Daddy, for one of those wooden bikes without pedals that,
yes.
that I simply push along with my feet and helps me to be a much better bicycle rider, faster than all the other children in the playground. Could I please have one of those, Daddy? Please, Daddy?
No, that's not what Frank wished for. He said, Daddy, I wished for a DS, superpowers, no school, and real guns.
Oh, wow. Did he really?
That's what he wants. And, you know, he's someone that I try to...
Real guns.
Real guns. And, you know, we don't buy them, like, all violent toys and stuff. In fact, I'm quite poncy about the whole thing of trying to keep guns out of the house, you know?
Yes.
And if someone, like at Christmas, if someone buys him a massive, great M16 plastic nightmare toy, I have in the past hidden it. And just hoped, like, I haven't got rid of it exactly because it's not really on. Like, someone's bought him the toy and it's his toy and everything. But I felt so conflicted about it because I don't, you know, I hate guns.
You can have this when you join a gang.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When you join the army, you can have this
one. You can have it back.
But then, you know, I thought, oh, this is no good. You can't hide his toy. You can't tell him how to think about this. He's got to make up his own mind, you know. But, He loves the guns. It's just innate, I think.
They always do that.
And he's not like a little roughy-tufty in other ways. But there's something about little boys. It's hardwired into them. They absolutely adore guns.
Yeah, well, they'll do it. They'll just point their finger at you and shoot you with that if they haven't got a plastic gun.
Right.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's what Guy Ritchie's built his entire career on, presumably. Is knowing that piece of information.
Well, he's a rock and roller, isn't he?
A rock and roller.
Rock and roller. That's sorry, I can't help saying that.
DS superpowers. He was non-specific about his superpowers. Just any superpower would do.
Yeah.
I mean, but this is, it's like a manifesto for modern youth, not only for youth, but kind of kid adults. It's what the whole entertainment industry is based on. DS superpowers, no school, and real guns.
Mm.
That's all any kind of person in the entertainment world needs to know about their audience, isn't it?
It's pretty much it.
Right, now, here's a band that knows all about that.
Especially guns.
Especially guns. They don't know anything about guns. The Ting Tings, do they?
Yeah, they rock some pistols.
No.
No, not really.
No, of course not. They're
no, they're nice.
They're non-violent.
They're very cuddly.
The bleach is the only thing that they're really involved with.
Yeah, that can be dangerous, though, if you get that in your eye.
Yeah, if you're squirting it.
Yeah.
This is Be The One by the Ting Tings. Ting Tings with Be The One. This is Adam and Garth here on BBC Six Music. Joe is away. He's going to be away for the next few weeks, in fact, listeners. But this will be the only week where you don't hear his voice at all. Next week, we're going to be joined by him live down the line. It'll be as if he's actually here in the studio. You won't be able to hear any difference to the normal show at all, really, other than the
except
fact
you'll
that
hear some gunshots behind him or something like that.
Yeah.
Or famous people. Yeah,
that's right. You know, the helicopters that do the traffic reports.
Yes.
In LA. This is true. They all have like bullet holes underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people in the gangs in LA, they just sometimes when they're feeling happy or whatever, they'll just fire their guns up in the sky. Apparently that's true, and they
well, they don't like it when the news people fly over, so they shoot at them.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah, that's right.
Get away.
Get off. We were talking before about some of the things that kids say. It's great, you know, they say the funniest things.
You could do a whole show.
You should do a
TV
whole
show.
TV show about it, and it could be hosted by Steve someone. I'm just thinking, who's the guy that does the Planet's Funniest Animals, that American guy?
Oh, that's Steve. American Steve.
He seems like a Steve, and
yeah,
he is insipid. Listeners, need your help again. Fact checkers.
Yeah.
He's an insipid man, and he does the Planet's Funniest Animals, and he probably also hosts
the crazy things that kids say.
But Garth was talking about a mutual friend of ours, Joby.
And well, Joby's son Morris is always coming out with great quotes.
Well, Morris is he's the kind of child that actually you would want to have.
Yeah, he's perfect.
You know, I'm very happy with my children, but Morris is, he's one of those kids, you look at him and you think, oh, that's the one. That's the one I want. Because he's like musically very prodigious, isn't he?
And let's just hope our children aren't listening to the show right now.
Yeah.
Basically, you're not quite as good as Morris. You know when your mum and dad would say, why can't you be more like your cousins?
Yeah.
Is that what you should say? Why couldn't you be more like Morris?
Morris.
Oh, it's such a shame. No, you're fine. It's just Morris. Morris is he's just a bit better, isn't he?
You know, he can play the guitar and
he's showing signs of real intelligence.
He asks a lot of very interesting questions a lot of the time, and you know, the only thing you ask is when SpongeBob's going to start. And
yes.
If there's any way you could be more like Morris, that would be ideal.
Morris was saying to Joby the other day, I think something had provoked this, some tragedy or something, I assume, but Morris said, Dad, what is heaven like? And so Joby thought, Morris, just imagine the most beautiful place you can possibly imagine. And Morris did. He sat there and he thought about it, and he said, Daddy, the most amazing place I can possibly imagine is McDonald's.
Now, where did Joby go with that? That's pretty much exactly what it's like.
That's it. You got it, kid.
Yeah, it's like that, but everything's free.
Yeah, it's free. You can keep going.
You get free fries with everything. And you can upgrade at no extra cost. It's extraordinary. Have you seen their McDonald's advertising now? They're kind of trying to spin the whole notion of McJobs and turn it from being something with a negative connotation into being something to be celebrated.
Oh, really?
And they've got quotes which are apparently real but may well be made up from members of their staff, just talking about how much they love their McJobs.
Is this real?
Yeah, this is real.
I haven't seen it.
I love my McJob. Why wouldn't you? It's one of the greatest jobs there is. It's brilliant. And it's like, why don't you come and discover the wonderful world of McJobs? And they will, I'm sure they will, manage to do it, because when you've got a corporation of that size, if they decide they're going to do a little spinning, it'll work. Sooner or later, there may be a couple of years of resistance and cynical carping from people like me, but eventually that'll be forgotten.
That sounds like something from The Simpsons. I mean, It sounds like you'd hear someone go, I love my job. And their face would be sort of mutated as they say, and you'd be saying, that's the joke, right?
You know, 5 years from now, people are going to be saying, oh, yeah, it's a brilliant job. It's the best job you can imagine. It's a McJob.
It's a McJob, yeah.
Yeah, it's an absolute McJob.
Yeah, and even if you've got another job, it's like, oh, I've got a wicked McJob today. I'm working on.
Oh, I'm not going to do that one. I'm going for the McJob.
I've either got this job or I've got a real McJob here. I get a choice.
I've been promoted. I've got the McJob. Jeez. All right, now, after this, we're going to launch Text the Nation, listeners, proper, and get your feedback. And we'll tell you more about that in a second. Right now, here's a free play. You can kick this one off, Claire, because it's got a long ambient build-up. Mm. Can you recognise this already?
Yeah. I'm going into a different time zone.
You're going into the future.
The future is calling me.
It's a bit of vandalism.
Yeah.
Of course, these are the main titles from the film Blade Runner by Vangelis. And this is the bit right now that you can hear where Harrison Ford, as Deckard, is using his impossible computer to zoom in on that photograph of a bath.
Yes, I like that.
It always perplexes me. Like, when I watched it, I thought, what is he doing? You can't just zoom in and go round corners on a two-dimensional photo. But he can. He does it. And I just love this. My children, again, love it. I'm sort of ruining it by speaking over it. So let's crank it up and listen proper. Vangelis, of course, with the Blade Runner main titles. Man, that's just an amazing film, isn't it? And I try and watch that one, like, you know, once every year. A couple of things I watch once every year. Have you got things like that?
It used to be Billy Wilder movies. I mean, it still is, really. I drag out The Apartment at least once a year.
Right.
I love that film.
I don't know if I've ever seen that. It's unbelievable. With Jack Lemmon.
Yeah, I'm going to have to quit now. Is that really true? You've not seen it?
No.
It's a perfect movie.
Wow.
But no, you're right. Blade Runner's amazing. And that, also, people would have loved you for that. Just a little bit of relaxing music to sort of just take the edge off things there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's so evocative, though, isn't it? It's brilliant. So it's one of the... It's almost like a perfect score, though.
I love movie voices and sound effects like that as well. It just doesn't sound like normal life. It sounds brilliant.
Blade Runner, I'll haul out once a year. I'll haul out the Dark Side of the Moon Pink Floyd Classic Albums documentary.
I've never seen that.
Have you not?
No.
Well, you know the Classic Album series, right?
Yeah.
It's they do docs and they go and go behind the making of all
I
these...
I saw the Fleetwood Mac one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're always showing that one. And they show the Graceland one, the Paul Simon one, a lot. And they've done them for all sorts of different albums. There's one for Nevermind by Nirvana, which is good. And usually the backbone of the thing is they'll chat to the engineer, the studio engineer or the producer, and he'll be sat there at the mixing desk and he'll go through and fiddle around with all the faders. And he's like, oh, you can hear Kurt's harmony on here. And over, that's Dave's guitar part coming in. We're doubling it up there. You can hear. And,
I remember the one on Fleetwood Mac when he goes, listen to this on Gold Dust Woman. You can hear Stevie Nicks screaming. And she's just going, like this sort of in the background. It was really weird.
Is she in distress or is it?
Well, it's
part of the thing?
Yeah, towards the end, it's really the distance. It really sort of turned right down, but it's a song about doing naughty things, and right. She's paying the price for it at the end of the record.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, the Pink Floyd one is amazing. It's one of the best in the series. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. They've got all the original members there, obviously apart from Sid, but Sid wasn't really involved with Dark Side of the Moon, so why would he be involved in the documentary? But it's really good, and they deconstruct the whole thing, and you've got Gilmore playing all his little guitar parts and going through all the and showing you how he did all that. Oh, it's just amazing. I love that. And they even interview the guy who does all the, I've always been mad. I've always been mad. All the bits of spoken word stuff, they kind of show you how they came about. And it's wonderful. It's like the perfect music documentary. Anyway, and also another good one, by the way, is I'd be interested to hear what films or TV shows listeners drag out on a regular basis if they do that kind of thing. But another one, the perfect one to do that with, is Groundhog Day.
That's a great movie.
You know?
Yeah, that is really good. I'll allow that one.
All about a man reliving the same day over and over again, and it is watchable over and over again as well.
It's a perfect film, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
that's
just
my
great
cup of tea, that one.
Some people hate watching films more than once. Pauline Kael, the film critic, she would never re-watch a film. She would never watch a film more than once. I just think that's unbelievable.
Well, it is funny, though, because you can listen to an album a million trillion times. Mm. But you really can't watch a film as anywhere near as much as your favourite album.
No, exactly. So listen, we waffled right the way through introduction of, that was my fault, of Text the Nation. We'll launch Text the Nation after the news. Right now, here's a little bit of Last Shadow Puppets. Last Shadow Puppets, My Mistakes Were Made For You. This is Adam Garth here on BBC Six Music. The time has just gone 10:30. Time now for the news and music news with Harvey and Andre. Yeah. Hives with Hate to Say I Told You So. This is Adam and Garth here on BBC Six Music. And I think it's time now, why not, to launch Text the Nation.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
This is the part of the show, it's the nation's favourite feature, where we ask people, we talk about a subject, and then we ask people to send in their own thoughts on that subject.
That was really, really clearly explained.
Do you get it?
Do you understand me?
I mean, it's a very newfangled thing that we're doing here. The fangling is entirely new, and you have to have a license for this kind of fangling, but we've got one. We secured one, and so that's why we're allowed to do it. No other radio show does this kind of thing.
No one's done this.
With a jingle, at least. I don't
Not
think
like that.
It's exactly the same. So it's brand new. It's a whole new dawn of radio, and it's exciting. So what we want you to do, listeners, today is... Well, let me tell you this, first of all. I'll tell you a little bit more about the Dino Park that we were at the other day in East Anglia. I think they call it Norfolk's number one attraction. Mm. Or maybe they refine that by saying number one dinosaur-based themed attraction or yes. something like that. But anyway, it's popular, and rightly so, because it's a wonderful... park, and we spent a very enjoyable day there, and the children absolutely loved it. Happened to be a nice day as well, which didn't hurt. And basically what happens is it's in the grounds of this stately home, I think, but it's a nice bit of land, and you go in there and you drive and you park in a field or whatever, and off you go. And obviously you have to go through, you have to walk through, the box office is right next to the, the ticket office is right next to the merchandise
yep.
shop, as always happens in these things. And they channel you out through the shop. So your children badger you incessantly until you actually buy them some little plastic piece of old crap, and you then you can finally leave. But then you, but that happens at the end. When you go in, you get channeled through, and there's lots of, they've constructed loads of big dinosaurs, as you would imagine, out of fiberglass and stuff, and done it jolly well. And some of them are hollow, and you can climb around inside there and stick your head out of various dinosaur cavities. And,
you know, that's my idea of a good time.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a
little
bit
nice.
Like Jim Carrey in Ace Ventura 2 at the beginning there, when he sticks his head out and he's born out of the back of that rhinoceros.
That's true.
It's one of the greatest scenes in cinema history. But anyway, unfortunately, that's not available at the Dino Park, but it's fun. You can walk through, and you, and basically it's a way of just having a day out where you can go for a walk with the children where they won't actually get bored. They're, no, I don't want to go for a walk. I won't want to play with my DS and my real guns. But instead you can say, no, look, well, it's not a walk. It's a Dino Park, right? So you walk through the forest, but there happen to be these kind of fiberglass dinosaurs secreted in the forest there, and you can point at them. Although my son Frank got very melancholy at one stage because there was a sort of diorama of a couple of dinosaurs eating like another one, you know what I mean, that they'd killed, and they were now preying on it, and he got quite emotional about it. And I think it's difficult sometimes for children to make the transition from watching these films and animated features that anthropomorphize these kinds of creatures, you know. Have you ever seen the film Dinosaur, for example?
Oh, yeah.
Animated one. And I think he'd seen that one recently. So suddenly to be confronted...
That doesn't prepare you for what he was about to see.
Even rendered in fiberglass, the reality of the cutthroat world.
Snarling, dripping, bloody reality.
It's like, oh. I said, what's the matter, man? That was my friend, he said.
Yes.
What, that actual one in fiberglass? Was he?
Yeah, that was my friend.
You all right? Do you want to stop and talk about this?
No, I'm okay. Let's go now.
But he would mention it throughout the day.
And he just said, let's just get the guns, Daddy.
Let's get the real guns. But then the highlight of the day, apart from the mini golf, which was great. I don't know what mini golf was. Actually, no, it was all sort of Jurassic mini golf. So you would hit the golf balls into volcanoes and things like that. And there were various different, like, Cretaceous levels that you could go on to with the golf balls. Half the fun of the whole thing was actually just finding spare golf balls, because they were, when we went on, there's no golf balls. So I just was...
What, the woman selling you the ride said there's no golf balls?
No, it was apparent to us. There was no one actually in charge of the mini golf area. But you went there and there was a few, you know, poles, what are they called? Bats, sticks, clubs.
Oh, golf bats. Yes, I know the
golf sticks. Golf sticks. So there was a few of those, but you couldn't see any balls. So eventually I just had to go out and root around in the undergrowth until I found a few, and then we could get going. They loved that. That was great fun. And then there was like a go-kart track with some old rusty go-karts that they could kind of push around. Loved all of that. But the highlight was a tour of, like, you know, you go to a safari park or whatever, and you pay your money and you climb on board a coach, and you have that option to go around and take the Jurassic Park style guided tour. And this, they were on like a couple of trucks, and the trucks were all sort of camouflaged, and they had cages built around them. It basically looked as if you were going to be coming up against some Tyrannosaurus rexes or some velociraptors or whatever, or some real animals that were equally dangerous, right?
Yeah.
So the children were very excited. Oh my God, what kind of things are we going to see? And the lady was like, everybody on. Okay, everybody ready to go? Make sure you don't stick your hands outside of the cages or you might lose them. And, you know, all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Don't stick your hands out or anything else that you might be thinking of sticking out. All these kinds of jokes, you know, that go over the heads of the children, I hope. And so off we set. And it's all like trundling. And she goes, we'll be back, we'll be back after an hour. And I'm thinking, an hour? We're on the stuck on this thing for an hour. So you've paid 10 quid by this time for this tour. And you're thinking, oh, my Lord, 10 quid, an hour. Is they're going to get there? You know, they're really going to give you the whole shebang. So you set off and you start trundling off. Nee, 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 nee. And then the thing comes to a stop after a few hundred yards, right? And the children are all like, what's going on? And nothing's really happening. They open a gate and then you sort of trundle through and you think, right, okay, now we're going into the zone, right? Yeah. We're through the main enclosure. We're going into the main, the killing zone, the danger zone.
Just listening to this.
Right? Any moment now, like some tigers or some monkeys wielding M16s are going to come out and start singing songs from Damon Albarn's musical. It's going to be dangerous and exciting. And then after another couple of hundred yards, the whole truck shudders to a halt again. And the lady says, right, we're here. Literally, like about 400 yards out. You've only been going for about 5 minutes in the track. Here we are. Now I'd like you to meet the members of our deer family. And you see some deer. And the deer come up by the side of the trucks, and they're sweet. They're nice deer, you know. And she talks about the deer, and she says their names and what they feed them and how they how they clean the deer. And the children are like, can we touch the deer? Can we go outside? No, you can't touch the deer. You have to stay inside the caged van in case any of the deer have weapons that they might suddenly use against the children, incurring a lawsuit. So there was no question of touching the deer. Instead, she said, you know, do you want to ask any questions about the deer? No one really did. A couple of people said, how long do their horns go? Well, they can go very long. any more questions? You know, and it was that kind of thing. Oh, right. Okay. Well, so there was about 20 minutes to half an hour's worth of this stuff.
Oh, how awful.
And we're thinking, is this, no, we're not really going to go back. Yeah, we went back after that. That was it. Out 400 yards, see the deer, and then back.
That was it?
That was it.
Seriously, really, was that it?
That was it, yeah. I mean, they did like it. No one was complaining. I'd like to make that perfectly clear before unhappy representatives of the Dino Park start phoning up and say they've been misrepresented. It was a wonderful day out, but for me, I was maybe expecting a tiny bit more. And what I was thinking was, and this is something that tends to happen in the UK more than other countries, I would bet,
definitely,
right?
Definitely. It's you know how we talk about America and we say, oh, that could only happen in America.
Right.
Well, that's definitely only that could happen in England.
I just don't think they would. I mean, I might be wrong, but I don't think that the Yankees would pull that kind of stunt. Their theme parks are on a different level. Anyway, I was going to ask listeners either about real theme parks that you visited that are kind of like that, that seem to have been knocked together from a few flimsy ideas. Not saying that's what the Dino Park's like, but maybe you've been to one that is a bit like that. You know, what is the lamest theme park you've ever been to? And if you haven't been to one, then what's your idea for an incredibly lame theme park?
Yeah, I think they're the best ideas.
You know what I mean? If you can think, because it's a useful way of going. If you want to make some money out of your little plot of land there, all you have to do is think of some pretty lame idea.
Dare you enter Scrapyard.
That's
dare
right.
You mind out for the Crusher.
Binland.
Binland.
What will you find in the bins? And it's all like the staff all dressed
don't touch that bin.
The staff all dressed as tramps.
Yeah.
And wondering, welcome to Binland.
Because I went to Wookiee Hole once.
Right.
By accident, I got trapped in a rainstorm and I just happened to be near Wookiee Hole. So we went in for cover and it was a classic British thing where you go in. It's brilliant, Wookiee Hole. If you're planning on going, you must. But there's a funny thing in there where they go, this bit is said to be haunted. And some say a witch once came down here and never came out. In fact, if you listen carefully, you can hear her. And they'd project this picture of a witch, and it was really bad. And it would sort of like go across the cave, and you'd hear
stuck.
This recording go. And the tour guy kind of looked at us with eyes that said, yeah, I know, I'm sorry. Let's just keep going.
Let's have some music now and encourage you to start sending in your ideas for lame theme parks, either real or imagined. Right now, here's Maya with Paper Planes.
I love this.
Yep. That was Goldfrapp with Strict Machine. That was a session track right there, recorded in 2003. That seems like a very long time ago. I mean, it is technically 5 years ago.
Man and boy. What? I don't know why I said that.
Why did you say man and boy?
I always say man and boy when people talk about things being a long time ago. I just go, man and boy.
Man and boy.
It's my stock response.
It's just nonsense.
Yeah, it's rubbish.
Where does man and
people
boy
go,
come from?
Oh, I haven't been there for years. And I just go, man and boy.
Man and boy.
Boy. Not like back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day. It's like one of those. It just doesn't make any sense. It's a good test, actually, to see if people are listening to me.
Man and boy.
If they accept it, it means they're not listening. Yeah.
There's a little bit of Goldfrapp for you there. We have we're going to be reading out some of your Text the Nation suggestions for real and imagined lame theme parks in a few minutes. it's like in the last hour. It's already the last hour. It's coming up to 11 o'clock, yeah. It's going to be time for Top of Hour soon, Garth.
I love that.
Oh, everyone loves Top of Hour. Oh,
it's good to be at the top.
Are we going to go for the jingle or the sweeper? Or both?
Jingle.
Jingle. Mm. Can we not have the sweeper and the jingle?
Okay.
Here we go.
Because I love the Top of Hour sweeper.
It's lonely at
the Still
top.
Don't exactly know what it is, but I love it.
Yeah.
But before that, Garth, you have a free play here right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to say too much. Let's just play it. It's Put the Lime in the Coconut by the Muppets.
I'm not Joe. No. Joe is away from the show. But Joe is the one that you know. He's unreliable. Yes, so appealing. I'm not Joe.
I am Garth. I am standing in for Joe. I hope you don't mind if you do. That's tough.
Costello with Radio Radio. This is BBC Six Music. I'm Adam Buxton.
Oh, hello. Yeah, I'm Garth Jennings. I've got to get good at that. Yeah. Whole thing. Try it again. Do it again for me.
Hey, this is Adam Buxton.
And I'm Garth Jennings.
Hey.
That's what we're talking about.
Very nice.
Thanks.
Joe's away. He's in Los Angeles. It's in America. It's an exciting city. Everyone wears bikinis and roller skates, even the men. Mm-hmm. And it's where dreams are made. They have a dream factory there. It's been broken for the last few years.
They're working on it, though, right?
They've got
their best people on it.
They've got a temporary one. They've got a smaller one on the outskirts, and that's churning out some films, I think, with Seth Rogen runs it. And he's churning out some films from there. But the main Dream Factory, I think Joe's actually part of the team that's gone out there to try and fix it.
Yeah.
And so they've taken some bags of dreams, some of Ricky Gervais's dreams they've taken out there in a bag, and they're... pumping those into a part of the machine, and that should fix it. Apparently, that's the theory. Anyway, that's by the by. we are going to catch up with some of your suggestions for imagined theme parks, and they could be tourist attractions as well. The more bizarre and ludicrous, the better. Also, real ones we'd like to hear about that you've been to. We'll catch up with that in a little bit. But, Garth, I was going to ask you about, like, you know when you go to a shop and you're paying for your stuff with the chip and pin thing?
Yes.
Right? And you put your card in there and you type in your number. And it seems to be a thing now that all shop staff do a very ostentatious turn away. From the
yeah, that's quite
thing,
funny, isn't
right?
it? Yeah.
And I wonder if are they told to do this? Like, do they say when they're being trained up? So when the customer puts in his personal identification number, make sure you look, either turn round completely or look at the ceiling or bend down or hum to yourself or
I
fold your arms.
I think it'd be great if they put their fingers in their ears, close their eyes and went, na, 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 na.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not looking.
I'm not looking. I don't know what your number is. I'm not going to steal it. But like, has the opposite ever happened?
But you know, I've noticed that as well with other customers that are behind you.
Mm.
You know that thing of when you're a bloke and you're walking home at night sometimes and there's happens to be a woman walking on her own the other side, you feel very conscious of...
You don't want to freak her out.
You don't want to freak her out because, you know, you were just going home and just and you think, and whatever you do freaks her out because you speed up to get past her. That's horrible and all that. So I've noticed that in the queues when you're doing your chip and pin and you sort of do that thing, you're pressing your button, you notice people sort of do their, I'm just going to look around the shop for you.
Yeah.
I'm just going to look over there. I'm going to look anywhere but at your pin.
Advertise the fact that you're not a threat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I try and do
it's
that.
All right. I'm not trying to look over your shoulder.
Right. I'm walking along the street sometimes. I'm just going, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. And people like scatter. What's up with that?
Yeah.
You know? And that's just the way, like, when I'm walking, that's the way that my breath comes out.
I'm going to get you.
But, you know, the women, they don't like it.
I want to see you do that.
They don't like it for some reason. But I was curious to know if, like, has it ever happened that someone has failed to do that and actually, you know, what, deliberately or otherwise,
they've just been... the numbers, they could see you.
Yeah, they just sort of cock their heads and lean over. Oh, that's one digit away from mine.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's a difficult one to remember. Yes. How do you remember that one? Have you got a system? Oh, that's almost like Beverly Hills 90210, isn't it? Except, you know, for the second digit. That's good, isn't it? No, obviously that's...
There's definitely a thing going on with that. Though. Also, I've noticed with some shops, they don't like it if you automatically go and put your card in it. Mm. Like you show a bit of initiative.
Yes,
and you
that's
go,
right.
I'll just sort of help you out here because I know the drill. You don't say that to them. You don't say, I know the drill. But yeah. You sort of go, all right, I'll. That's how much it costs. I put my card in here. And they go, they sort of get it.
Yeah.
And put it in again.
No.
Yeah.
No, I need to. Yeah. No, not yet.
Yes.
Not yet.
And then they kind of get you with the whole, you know, take your card out now thing.
Yeah.
And you're waiting there looking for that sign where it says, take your card out
yeah,
now.
Yeah, please remove card.
And the second it goes, they go, take your card out, please.
Can you remove your card?
I can't carry on until you've taken your card out. It's like, all right, okay.
Can you please remove your card now?
Yeah, when you're ready.
I think what they should do is wear goggles, you know, like eye shades, the kind of things they give you on planes.
Yeah.
They should have them so they just flip them down as soon as the chip and pin thing starts.
Yeah.
And then there's no security risk whatsoever, and it's like over to you, and you can just do the whole transaction yourself without any interference.
With your laser eye scanner thing. Like yeah. They've got at the airports now. Have you seen them?
Right.
I honestly have seen this at Heathrow Airport. There's an eye scan mm-hmm. for the quick, fast people. They come in and they point their face right into a box.
Wow.
And then it goes, go.
Is the future, man.
That's the future right now.
The future
now,
is the right there. Yeah.
That's how we'll be paying for our sausages.
Scanning your eyes.
Yeah. Can you put your face in, please?
Can you scan your eyes, please, now? And what else could they scan? I could scan all sorts of
put
things.
Put your tongue in there. Yeah. Put your tongue in. Stick it out.
Pop your winky in there for us, please. Thank you very much. Yeah, because exactly. If your eyes have been removed for whatever reason in an accident or you don't have the use of your eyes in that way, you're going to have to pop some other part of your anatomy in there, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, I know which one I will pop in. Now, let's see. Here is Pavement, and this is a lovely track from their last album, which was called Terror Twilight, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And this is just a wonderful, beautiful autumnal slice of musical loveliness called Major Leagues. Got the Echo Plex out there. Lovely stuff. That's Pavement with Major Leagues. And let's have the Text the Nation jingle, why not?
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter, text.
And today on Text the Nation, we are asking you about either real theme parks that you've been to, which made an impression for being, shall we say, offbeat, or imagined theme parks, you know, your own ideas for theme parks that you could construct. And especially if your resources were somewhat limited, you know, if you didn't have that much to go on, but you really wanted to open a theme park, what kind of thing would you do? So a few people have texted or emailed about a real theme park called Diggerland, which I've never been to, but certainly there was a stage when it really looked imminent, a visit to Diggerland, because as well as guns, diggers are another thing that young boys are obsessed with for a long period of time.
Absolutely.
Some of them never grow out of it and they become digger drivers. That's who they are, the people on the diggers. They're little children that never grew out of loving diggers. But Diggerland exists. We never actually went there in the end, but yeah, man, we were pretty close a couple of times. Here's an email from Stu W. He says, hi there, Adam and Garth. In my hometown, we have a Diggerland theme park. Presumably it's the Diggerland theme park, I don't know. But in which you can drive mini diggers. Brackets is restricted to less than walking pace in speed. Quite right, of course. And you can operate the digging arms on the bigger stationary JCB machines. Yeah, this is the one that I was looking at. Have you been to this one, Garth?
No, I've heard about it, though.
You know, because that would be the most amazing
thing.
That sounds
good, actually, yeah.
Possibly the biggest ride is a huge JCB in which they have fitted seats in the bucket scoop so you can sit and spin around. So you sit in the scoop, right?
Right.
And you get moved.
Okay, scoop. What we're going to do now is put you in the seat and we're going to move you.
Going to move you. But it always seemed a bit... One of the reasons we didn't go to Diggerland was that you just think it's too much. The idea for a child that they might be going to a theme park where they can actually see these diggers and drive them would be amazing. But of course, once you get there, there's no question of them actually driving a real massive digger.
Not a massive one, but a little one. I think they'd be all right once they got there.
You reckon they actually... Yeah, it says they can drive mini diggers, but surely they can't drive them themselves. Like a three-year-old is not going to be allowed to just jump in there and have
maybe
a go
with
the mini
digger. Maybe that's the fun of it. It's a little bit edgy down there.
It's a bit dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, it would be good to go to a foreign country and have one that's deregulated. You know what I mean?
Really good one.
You could
go on, have a go. Take it away.
Yeah. Drive the wrecking ball. He's only three. Is that okay?
That's fine. He can have some fun there with the wrecking ball. He's three? That's okay.
He doesn't even come up to my knee.
That's not a problem with the wrecking ball. Just has to push one button.
That would be fun. Stu in Cambridge says, how's this for a theme park idea?
This is a topical one. Stu, Job Centre Land, okay. A range of queuing based activities on offer, as well as form filling and avoiding eye contact with other patrons. Also gets the kids used to the certain harsh realities of the current economic climate. Well, there's a lot of credit crunch based ideas that you can have for theme parks, and the notion
I've got
of
a sort of quite nice one from Ben Johnson in Lancaster. He's found this place called Docker Park Farm, which sounds really nice because kids like going to the little farms.
Absolutely.
But this one has in its things to do section has a nice little bit that you could milk our special cow. I thought that was quite nice.
That's interactive. Is it an actual
cow? It is an actual cow.
Oh, that's good. It's not a euphemism.
No.
That sounds nice. Docker Park Farm. I like it. Here's a very short one. Chris in Durham, straight to the point. He says, a real one, Keswick Pencil Museum.
Yeah.
Fantasy one, World of Pockets. I can see World of Pockets. Can't you?
Yeah.
And you just have like the centerpiece of World of Pockets is like a giant torso, you know, headless torso. It's just the middle section. It's like from the tummy downwards to the knees, maybe a massive thing. And it's got just a big pair of jeans on there, and you can climb up. Like a kind of climbing rope thing, and jump into the pocket and slide down through the pockets. Maybe one of the pockets has a hole in it.
That's what you want. And lots of fluff at the bottom.
Exactly. Fluff and giant coins and ticket stubs and things like that. And then you could have, like in the back pockets, maybe it would be a bit racier. I don't know. Yeah, use your imagination. we'll read some more of these out in just a second. But right now, here is a... are we going to go straight from the trail into my free choice?
Yes.
Okay, so another Pink Floyd trail for you. And after that, a lovely bit of Pixies. I was sort of in a mellow mood when I picked out my free plays this week, you know. And this is one of the Pixies' mellower moments. Do you know the track Anna from the album Bossa Nova? It's very nice. Hope you enjoy it. But first, here's this trail. That's Anna by Pixies there. And that's one of those songs where the first letter of each line spells out a word. Spells out the word surfer.
How did you know that?
I don't know. I read it somewhere. She's my face, undressing in the sun, return to sleep, forgetting everyone, surfer. There you
go.
How
funny.
What's the word for those things? I forget. Anyway, that's a fun fact for you there. Now, we're in the midst of Text the Nation. We're asking you to tell us about theme parks that you've been to that were bizarre or a little bit lame, or suggest new theme park ideas as well that we could have. Here's a text or an email from Matt, and he says, there is a theme park in Buenos Aires called Tierra Santa or Saint Land. This is a real one, and it's a Christian religious theme park. Religious themed park, rather, with fiberglass representations from Bible scenes. Where would the theme park world be without fiberglass? There is a plastic crucifixion scene that is particularly tasteless. A massive rotating fiberglass Jesus towers over the park, a bit like the one in Rio, but cheaper. At one point, you go into a cave and there is a huge smiling Jesus head that you can have your pictures taken next to. The locals take it very seriously, though, and we felt a bit blasphemous wandering around purely for the entertainment value. That was from Mark. That sounds fantastic. It's Tierra Santa. It is strange to be immersed in something that means a great deal to somebody else that you don't necessarily have that much.
Well, we went out, we were in Washington a few months ago working, and we took the afternoon off to look at the memorial. You know, you've got the Lincoln Memorial. Mm-hmm. And we were walking around and thinking, wow, this is an impressive building. But there was this soldier there who, well, he wasn't a real soldier, he was just a guy in combat gear, and he'd taken it upon himself to just walk around, and people were going, oh, look at that soldier, let's have our picture taken with him. And we were going, look at that soldier, he's an idiot. And he wasn't a real soldier, he was just sort of like this
guy.
Are
you sure?
Absolutely, 100%. We checked it out with the staff. There's a security staff. We're saying, who's that guy? Is he part of the thing? They say, no, he just comes here. And people are feeling kind of, you know, they love their picture taken with a soldier in front of Lincoln. That I felt a bit bad laughing at.
You're never sure, though, are you? When you see people in full combat uniform, you just think, are you a soldier or a sad man?
There was another soldier, sad man, on a plane once who sat next to Nick, my friend Nick, and he said to Nick, I'm a spy. I've got, and this is true, he said, I've got a recording device in my teeth so I can record conversations with my mouth. And he said, I'm only telling you because I trust you, and you know, you're never going to see me again. That's absolutely true.
How long was the flight?
3 hours.
Oh, my lordy. Yeah. Lucky he wasn't going somewhere a bit further afield. Now, have you got any there?
Yeah, I've got one from John in Holloway. He said there's two theme parks in Dorset. One's called Monkey World and the other one's called the Tank Museum. But if you're driving along the A303, you'll see a sign for both of them at the same time, which says Monkey World Tank Museum. And I like to think of them as a single fantastic theme park, says John in Holloway.
Yeah, that's
excellent.
It would
be amazing, wouldn't it?
It'd be great. Yeah, you have
Monkey
the monkeys.
World Tank Museum.
If you train the monkeys to drive the tanks,
yeah,
that would be exciting.
Fantastic.
Email from someone maybe who knows Diggerland or is involved with Diggerland saying, of course, if you're 3, you can't drive the diggers. You have to be 5 before you can start using the diggers, even the mini diggers there at Diggerland. But not in my theme park with the wrecker ball. You can be any age. It doesn't matter for that one. Here is a message from DC Mike in Bearwood, and it says, how about an X Factor themed park? There could be a roller coaster where the riders head up to the dizzy heights of fame and then suddenly crash down, never to be seen again. I think that would be quite good. Teach you a little bit about the crazy world of fame.
Or maybe you just have to go in, and when you buy your ticket, there's a judge there saying, no, you can't come in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, you're quite good. You're cute. Come in.
Yeah, just a big fame theme park would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Teach you all about the vicissitudes of the world of fame, if that's the right word. And it would be very cruel. Like, it would start out being fun. The first part of the park would be fun.
Yeah.
Everyone would be having a good time. There'd be lots of champagne and parties and dancing. And then after the roller coaster, yeah, you go on the big roller coaster and then you're plunged down into a subterranean world.
Yep.
Where you have to remain for years and years and years unless you can find the way through the comeback tunnel. But otherwise, you're...
The comeback maze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The comeback maze.
Yeah.
And you're just
Which
down
is lined
there.
With really scary people.
Yeah. Peter Andre.
Peter.
No, he's... Yeah, yeah.
He's not scary.
He's the king of the
He'll help you out, actually.
He's
if you find nice Peter Andre, he could be like the lucky charm.
That's right.
He could get you out.
So it wouldn't actually be a real Peter Andre, but it would be like youths hired by the park with sort of plastic six-packs strapped to their chests.
Yeah.
And they would help you out.
Come with us.
But otherwise, if you get trapped down there in the subterranean part of the park, you're just subject to humiliations, and there's people dressed like Amy Winehouse wandering around offering you things.
Yeah.
It's no good.
Just sandwiches and stuff.
Keep your texts and emails coming in. Let's have a little bit of pump up the volume. I mean, a little bit's all you really need. Shall we kick it off then, Claire? And then we'll have the news at 11:30. But right now, here it is. What's this? What's he saying? Well, I know he's saying pump up the volume. What's he saying before?
Hello, my name's Richard.
Here we go. Here's... Etc. That's Mars with Pump Up the Volume. This is BBC Six Music. It's just gone 11:30. Time now for the news and music news with Harvey and Andre. That is The Killers with All These Things That I've Done. This is Adam and Garth here on BBC Six Music. Garth is filling in for Joe, who is away. He's in Los Angeles at the moment. Although Garth's gone to the lavvy and he hasn't come back. He may have got lost. Or, oh no, here he comes now. He's back.
Are you on
Yeah, we're on.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
This is the show now.
Isn't that like radio crime?
Nah, it's all right.
It's really hard to get around this building because you need all these like passes and stuff. I actually got a bit trapped there.
It's the castle, boy.
I was trying to get back.
Could you not find the little swipey thing?
I couldn't find my way back in here.
That's what Claire was talking about before you left.
Sorry, everyone.
You were like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. You didn't. You hadn't got a clue.
Not a clue.
Now, let's wrap up Text the Nation right now. We've been asking you about theme parks that either you would like to see or places that you've been before. Like, do you used to read Mad Magazine?
A bit, not much.
You know, they had a whole section of things like theme parks we'd like to see. And they were all kind of crazy, nutty sort of things like that. You know, health and safety signs we'd like to see. I was actually thinking that would be quite a good thing to talk about.
Well, don't give it away, man.
Health and safety, we'll keep that for next week.
Write that down.
So, theme parks, though. Here is a message from Victoria in Hackney. She says, in Queensland, Australia, there's a theme park called the Big Pineapple. The Big Pineapple, mate. You going down there this weekend? It's amazing. Do you like pineapples? Yeah. Oh, well, you should go to the Big Pineapple. Because it's... Yeah. And it's. She says it consists of a giant fiberglass pineapple. Yeah, you didn't see that coming, did you?
Yeah.
What are we going to do for the theme park, for the Big Pineapple? Well, I think people like pineapples, right? So it's a great idea. Anyone got any ideas for what we should actually have in it? What about like a massive banana? What about a giant fiberglass pineapple? Now you're thinking. So that's what they've got. And there's a train ride through a pineapple plantation. Right?
You take a little... That's quite good, isn't it?
Is it?
I would have thought that'd be quite interesting.
Do you?
Yeah.
Look at the pineapple plantation.
I like pineapples. Look.
And this is where we grow all the pineapples. It would be like... It would be like Dino Park again. You know, it's basically you're trapped on the train.
Can we touch the pineapples? No, don't touch the pineapples.
Don't never touch the pineapples because you'll contaminate them.
Yeah. People got to eat those.
You should never touch a raw pineapple. It's deadly.
Haven't you seen Jungle Book? If you pick a prickly pear, you'll hurt your little fingers.
If you pick a raw pineapple, that's right. You better beware. Yeah. So it's very dangerous. And she also says there's a giant pineapple sundae available in the canteen afterwards. So they've thought of everything in the Big Pineapple.
You could probably buy a pineapple on your way out as well.
I bet you. I wouldn't put it past them.
Take
you
know, one home.
If they've got
for
their
your friends and family.
If they've got their thinking hat on, that's what they could hollow pineapples out. And you could wear a little pineapple hat.
That's right. You could make little bracelets from them.
You're walking around.
Here's some glasses. Here's like two pineapple rings.
Here's a little pineapple napkin there to wipe up the juice dripping down your forehead from the pineapple hat. Don't worry. We've thought of everything. We've thought of absolutely everything. And she says, also in Queensland, Australia, just down the road, in fact, from the Big Pineapple, is Steve Irwin's theme park. The late, great Steve Irwin. Of course, that was made famous by the fact that that was where he, Michael Jackson style, dangled his daughter in front of a crocodile, if you recall.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that extraordinary footage?
Yes.
And I don't know if that's an option to people visiting the park. Where do we dangle our children in front of the crocodile?
Dangling zone's further on, love. Can't stop here. Don't dangle them on this one. He'll actually eat them. That one over there's had his teeth removed. He'll just suck on your child for a bit. He won't be real. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be good.
Yeah.
Man, any self-respecting child would want to do that as well.
Yeah.
Come on, I want to get sucked by a crocodile. Everybody dreams about that.
You know that pencil museum you were talking about earlier?
Keswick.
Yeah. Dave Donaghy says, don't mock the pencil museum. My friend Spadge and I went there last year and got free entry and a free pencil because it was the museum's birthday. It may have been the best day out I've ever had.
Spadge. There's no way a real friend.
Well, that's what he says here. He's even spelt it with a capital S, so he really means it.
That's his imaginary friend. Come on, Spadge. We're off to the pencil museum.
Just one ticket and then, no, I want one from my friend Spadge too.
Yeah, your friend. Okay.
Yeah.
Mum, me and Spadge are off to the pencil museum again. Okay, darling. Try and be back in time for tea. Don't forget you've got your job tomorrow. You are 25 years old. Okay, don't worry. Spadge will remind me. Bye, Mum. Come on, Spadge. Off to the pencil museum again today. One pencil for me and one pencil for Spadge. There you go, Spadge. You've dropped it again, Spadge! Bye!
Can't you hold your pencils, Badge?
That's how it would go. It would be bittersweet.
Sorry, Dave Donaghy, for mocking your real friend's Badge.
He's not real.
He's not real.
He's clearly not real.
Yeah. Come on, Badge! Pencil Museum again today.
And finally, here's one from Lee. Lee BTN. Is that his name, or is BTN like a shortened version of where he lives, like Bolton or something? I don't know. Morning, Adam and Garf. G-A-R-P-H. That's your new name, Garf. He says, lame theme park proposal. Disaster World. A park full of disaster-themed rides and attractions open solely to sell a job lot of themed merchandise, such as T-shirts and caps, with the caption, I went for a day out and it was a disaster.
Good one.
Or he says, Rubbish World, where you tour local refuse tips and get the chance to be a refuse sorter for a day. I bet those exist. And that would actually be quite fun. Refuse tips and, you know, recycling tips and stuff like that are sort of attractive if you're a young person. And you're not allowed to go to them. Like, you know, there's a big recycling place off Smuggler's Way, Garth, in South London.
Is there really a
road?
A
road
Smuggler's
called
Way. Dare
Smuggler's
you go
Way.
There? Don't go down there, child.
Recycling. You're taking your fridge. Down there, just pile it up next to all the other white goods. If you're recycling boxes and stuff like that, you'll want to carry on further down Smuggler's Way. So you can go down Smuggler's Way, but you can't. Your children aren't allowed out of the car.
No, that's right. That's the same in the one with the one near us.
And they freak out. I want to get out. I want it because it looks so fun.
Oh, I've actually bent the rules and taken them out.
Right,
got them to carry a bit of plywood or something up
and lob it, because it is fun. You can lob the wood on there.
Something that shatters is the best thing ever.
And then you've got the little digger thing with the squasher fitting. Do you know what I'm saying? And
exactly.
The small digger comes up and it compacts all the rubbish in.
Really,
the
all the
bins.
Theme parks are sort of there. A refuse tip is a theme park. You just got to tell people. You got to change the way they see it. That's all you got to do.
Right.
Say, come on in. Dump your stuff. You just need a song and a character.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and you can get, as long as you can buy a hat on the way out, it's a theme park.
And you get, I mean, you could buy a hat, or you could just take things away, because there's always stuff when you go, and I don't know about you, but when you recycle stuff, like you'll take a load of old shelves or chairs or I don't know what, and throw them in there, like an old guitar that doesn't work or is cracked, and you bung them all on the pile, but then you think, oh, look at that.
Yes, you do.
I can't believe someone's thrown that away.
That's a real bicycle. And the tyres are still full.
Seems perfectly fine.
It's all right. Yeah.
Look at that.
That keyboard.
That acoustic guitar's got one less crack than the one I'm throwing away. I'm going to take that back home with me. It is fun. So you get free stuff on the way out. Someone should consider it as an exciting new theme park. Thank you very much indeed for all your texts and emails. Apologies, as usual, if we didn't read out one of the ones that you sent in, but we did read them all and we really appreciate them. And we are coming up towards the end of the show, but we've still got lots of great music. This one is chosen for you by our guest presenter this week, Garth Jennings. Which one is this? This is Deus, Garth.
Yeah, we should probably start playing it now, because like your Vangelis one.
It's got an ambient.
It's got a nice gentle. Oh, he's already cut a bit off the intro, but that's okay. This is Little Arithmetics by Deus. They're going mental now, aren't they?
Crazy Coda.
I love that song. That was Deus, Little Arithmetic.
Where are they from, Deus? Do you know?
I think they're Scandinavian, but I'm not entirely sure. Maybe that people could help us in the last few minutes of the show and tell us where they're from.
Speaking of which, thank you very much for, I think it was Lucy who pointed out that an acrostic is what you call like a poem where the first letter of each line makes up a word. That's an acrostic poem. Thank you very much. And who was it that was texting us saying that basically the digital radio, sometimes you can, you know, if you listen to the show on digital radio, it tells you what you're listening to. And it's been saying the Joe and Garth show right the way through the program.
Yep.
Thanks very much. You would hope that the actual people you work for might be able to tell one from the other. I understand it when people say we sound the same, me and Joe. And oftentimes when they meet us, you know, face to face as well, they just mix up the names. Even our families still do that a little bit. That's all fair enough. But, you know, your employer actually putting the name on the radio thing. You would hope maybe they would sort the names out. But it's not a big deal. You know, I'm clearly not hung up about it.
You just got to get over it.
I'm over it. I'm absolutely...
I'm going to give you a big hug after this next song.
Don't touch me. Now, we're going to play this song, the Quantum of Solace song.
You haven't heard it yet, have you?
No, I'm excited because obviously we did, me and Joe did songs for the Quantum of Solace, which comes out in 42 days or something. There's a massive, great... digital readout in Piccadilly Circus here in London that is counting down the hours and the minutes until The Quantum of Solace, the new Bond film, is released. Does that make sense? 40 days away or something?
I don't know. I thought it was coming out in October. That sounds like it's too far away.
Right. I don't know.
Who knows?
But it's a few weeks yet, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And have you heard the Jack White song?
Yeah, I heard it. Well, I first heard it on a Coca-Cola advert because they've used it for the new Coke adverts. And then there was this message on some of the music websites from Jack White saying, I'm not happy about this being played for the first time on a Coke advert. That being the first time people hear it.
Right.
But then I heard it in its entirety the other day on the radio. And it's big and loud and Bondy. I'm not sure if I love it yet, but maybe it takes a few listens.
He's got no problem with Coke as a company, though, because, of course, he did an advert for them before.
Yeah.
But I guess he was miffed that they just used it. Oh, but they would have to get his say-so, you would think.
Yes, I think it was just that they heard it there first.
Right.
Who knows?
Who knows?
You just got to chill, Jack. Chill.
Jack, if you're listening, why not give us a call and tell us what the whole situation was?
But right now, here's Jack White with Another Way to Die. Yes, good Lord. Jack White with Alicia Keys there, squealing and squalling away. That's the theme from The Quantum of Solace, Another Way to Die.
I have to tell you, I like it, but I think both yours are better theme tunes.
Well, you might be right. I'm going to make a video for mine. Joe's made a video for his Quantum of Solace song. I'm going to try and make a video for mine and put it online before the film comes out, if I can get my stuff together. That's pretty much it for our show. Garth Jennings, thank you so much for standing in for Joe, and Garth will be back with us next week as well. But we'll have Joe on the line live from LA, so tune in for that. We'll also be announcing the results of Song Wars. If you'd like to listen to our Song Wars Credit Crunch efforts again, you can do so online by listening again to the show, either through the Six Music website or through iPlayer. And don't forget to download the podcasts tomorrow evening after about 6 p.m. on a Sunday. You'll be able to hear the songs therein as well. Stay tuned for Liz Kershaw. Deus were from Belgium, by the way, the band. Little correction there. Thanks, Garth.
Thank you for having us.
Have a good week. Here's De La Soul. Take care. Love you. Bye.
Bye.